The Anglican Church in the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands presents Insight, a program sponsored by the Anglican Churchman.
This is Insight for Sunday, the 8th of October, 2023, being the Sunday, the eve of National Heroes Day in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We celebrate the heroes of our nation on the second Monday in every October since 2012. Let us begin in celebrations here as we celebrate on this edition of Insight with a prayer for those who influence public opinion, our heroes. Almighty God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct in our time, we pray, those who speak where many listen and write what many read, that they may do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound and its will righteous, to the honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We take our reading for heroes from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, I wish we had time to read the entire chapter. But I invite you to read Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 31, and then let's pick it up at verse 32. Shall I go on? Yes, I could go on, but I'll run out of time. There are so many more: Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions and fires and sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins. Homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them. Making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives or faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better place for us. God had planned, rather, a better place, that their faith and our fate would come together to make one completed whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it. My friends, with that, let us sing or face him. Now thank we all our God. My brothers and sisters, the second Monday in October is officially observed as National Heroes Day. So there's a shout out. Happy National Heroes Day, Bahamas. It took approximately 20 years to convince the Bahamas of the need for a National Heroes Day. We're always slow in affecting change, aren't we? I thank God for the privilege and opportunity to have led the charge to have this holiday etched into our annual celebrations. The National Heroes Committee that I led was the wind beneath my wings. I give our great and gracious God thanks for Prime Ministers Ingram and Christie for supporting the idea. Indeed, it was Prime Minister Ingram who advanced having Bahamian heroes honored on the second Monday in October, seeing that there were sufficient holidays on our calendar, and he feared the commercial world would have protested a new holiday, thus the rebranding of what was Discovery Day. Prime Minister Christie formulated legislation and had it passed into law. Dovetailed in this celebration is the national honors bestowed on our people on this given day, the second Monday in October. I am proud to have been one of the architects of our national honor system and to witness it etched into law. In all this, the Bahamas was catching up with other progressive countries in the region, such as Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, Antigua, etc. And this gives a country its unique identity and helps it people to know and appreciate those who gave blood, sweat, and tears in the building and ongoing sustaining of us as a people. This holiday is ideal time to actually name persons who we deem to be our role models and without whom our modern Bahamas would have been stillborn. You go on, call and identify those personal to you. One thing we Bahamians must pray for is for mental emancipation. We allow politics and religion to destroy our unity, our thought and purpose. Our list of heroes must go back to the Lokayan Indians, the original Bahamians, up through Pompeii, the days of slavery, through emancipation, the Burma Road Riot, the general strike, the majority rule, independence to the present day. Who are your heroes? For whom do you thank God for passing this way? Now read again Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. A snippet we just read, and see the roll call of heroes. Yes, it is in the Bible. That is a roll call of Hebrews, of heroes of Israel's faith. Here the author praises God for men and women by name. Let us follow suit and pray God that one day, you'll be in that number so that our children will praise God for us. The National Heroes Park, a part of our struggle to have implemented, well, we hope it comes. We hope it is a part in every family island, in fact, in every community in the Bahamas. As we set aside, we give God thanks and we celebrate men and women, boys and girls, who have indeed given blood, sweat, and tears in order to mold this Bahamas. Well, we can go on and make a list, can't we? We have persons, slave who struck the first blow for freedom, Pompey, Milo B. Butler, the 11th of August, 1906 to the 22nd of January, 1979. He was the first one to be named a national hero in the Bahamas just before independence. Milo was a champion, and indeed he was one who helped to lead the struggle against racial discrimination in the Bahamas. He is the one who helped to, well, breaking down of segregation in the Royal Bank of Canada that was so then well-versed in discriminating against blacks in the country at the time. We have Lyndon Oscar Pinlan, who by all means is the greatest, known as the greatest of all Bahamians. Up to our age, he was one more so than any other person who shaped the modern-day Bahamas and is rightly referred to as the father of the nation. I would go as far as saying that a national holiday alone ought to be given to Lyndon Pinlan. Well, in step with other countries that honor the fathers of their nation, the United States, George Washington, for example, in Barbados, Errol Barrow, for example, the greatest of the great, these persons such as Lyndon Pinlan, ought to be set aside. He was the one who daringly brought in majority rule, one who daringly brought in the whole business of national insurance, that he said is the greatest achievement of his whole time in office. And indeed, independence on the 10th of July, 1973. The greatest of the great. Yes, and we have Randall Fox, the 20th of March, 1924, who ordered, you should know, your government, the Bahamas government, the new Bahamas, the fate that moved the mountain. And because of his one vote in the election in 1967, caused a coalition government and the defeat of the white UBP government and brought about the first majority rule government in the Bahamas. He is rightly referred to as the father of labor in our country and just recently been named a national hero in our land. We can go on. Timothy Gibson ought to be also honored 1903 to 1979, not only because he wrote a national anthem, important as that is, yes, but his role in the field of education. He was an itinerant teacher, teaching from one island, one school to the next, and he was my music teacher in the school in Ardistown, Kent Island. He did a marvelous job as an educator, and particularly in the field of music. His writing of the and rendering of the national anthem will forever have him etched in our history. Well, moving on, Doris L. Johnson, one who took the lead of the women's suffrage movement and helped to bring about the revolution. It was a revolution because up to 1962, women could not vote, and that was the first time. And Doris Johnson led that charge, and that charge continues. She, indeed, along with all the other suffragettes, are indeed ought to be recognized as our heroes. Could be gone. Well, in the field of religion, can I add the Right Reverend Michael Hartley Eldon, the first black man, first Bahamian to be Bishop of the Diocese of the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands, 8th of August 1931 to 2011. He was the one who led a campaign for greater support to be given to family islands. He was not all just religious. He was the first one to be chairman of the board of the College of the Bahamas and brought about a revolution in education through the College of the Bahamas, now the University of the Bahamas. He is known as a grassroots bishop who knew everybody by name from island to island, key to key, and was able to foster a sense of relationship camaraderie that no one else had before and no one has done since. He would forever be etched in the minds of Bahamians, and indeed his contribution to the church in every island, every key in the Bahamas, not only Anglican, he made a contribution to the whole religious sphere within the Bahamas. Shall be gone. Well, Donald Knowles, I like this man. He was the first Bahamian to have been consecrated bishop. He was born the 14th of July, 1898, and died the 26th of September 1977, and served as bishop of the diocese then known as Antigua, now known as Northeast Caribbean and Aruba. In that part of God's vineyard, he is known as a saint. They actually call him a saint. He is known to have been a real bishop. Everybody loved him, and everybody in that part from that time talks highly about him. He served this diocese in areas there beyond before, probably don't even Thinking Port, Acklands, Crooked Island, Long Key. Long Key, yeah, he is best known in Long Key, as in fact. And he was like a diocesan missioner. It is said here, and let me read this here, said in 1931, along with Bishop Sheddon and his sister Eve, they were shipwrecked on the way from the Turks and Caicos Islands via Miguana and Long Key, to Long Key. The ship was a total loss, and the captain, Joe Taylor, was drowned. In 1944, he was appointed canon of cathedral, and in 1951 was made Archdeacon of the Bahamas and Sub-Dean of the Cathedral. The same year, he was awarded insignia of Order of the British Empire during the reign of His Majesty King George VI. On January 25, 1953, Bishop Knowles was consecrated Bishop of the Antigua Diocese at Christ Church Cathedral. On June 30, 1969, after 16 and a half years of service, Bishop resigned from the Antigua Diocese. He was the first Bahamian to have been elected as bishop in the Caribbean. He returned to the Bahamas, where he died on September 26, 1977. He'll be always remembered as St. Margaret's, having started that, and St. George's in New Providence, and having also been rector of St. Matthew's in New Providence. Well, the list can go on. And I would like in the second portion to single out one or two other persons, but just quickly, shall we go on? Mother Ethel, Regent Bells, William Cartwright, the founder of party politics in the Bahamas, H.M. Taylor, the leader of the first political party in the Bahamas, Tommy Robinson, who was the first Bahamian to go out there and win gold on the track. Shall I go on? Well, we can go on, but in the meantime, time would not allow. Let us sing the hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country. Brothers and sisters, in the time that is allowed, I would like to highlight someone who doesn't get his honors. William James Granger was a school teacher, a technician, a priest, the first Bahamian black dean of Christ Church Cathedral, and vicar general of the Anglican Diocese. He was born in Matthewtown, Inagua, technician at Bahamas Telecommunications Corporation, principal of Sims All Age School, priest in charge of Holy Saviour's Parish in Cat Island, the first full-time chaplain at Her Majesty's Prison, who led a revolution within modernizing prison services. He saved all God's people in a way that would humanize us, giving us worth and value, hope and true pride, making us aware that we are somebody. He blazed a trail for all of us to follow. But as is the case with all pioneers, his efforts were not always understood or supported by those in authority, and he had his difficulties at the beginning. But these did not deter him, and he pressed on enthusiastically with his ministry to the whole man, sharing generously his time, his abilities, his money. And so on Cat Island, along with others such as Rodney Bain as head teacher, who himself ought to be recognized as a hero, he brought quality secondary education to the lives of the young people there who could not come to privileged schools and qualify to be in schools of choice such as Government High in New Providence, where, in fact, you had to pay up to 1967 with the coming of majority rule. DSA, the Addison All-Age School, became the first Out Island High School in the Bahamas. He made a rectory a hostel for many young men to be accommodated, so as to be recipients of the high school he assisted in founding. He fed and watered them well and creatively found ways to feed them. He brought steam eggs to Cat Island as a breakfast dish. He did all this out of his meager stipend as a priest. And those whose lives he touched in this manner may be found today in places of importance in the public and private life of this country. He assisted people of the island with the improvement of their farming and marketing methods. He evolved the idea of storing grains such as peas, beans, and corn in 55-gallon drums. It went island-wide. He had the care of the churches, 11 of them. He did not spare himself in the care of them over the most difficult roads and with the most indifferent transportation. He frequently brought all the scattered congregations together to make them more conscious of their oneness in the family, a most important fact of that time. The name of Father William Granger still rings out from Orange Creek to Port Howe. He was a servant of all Cat Islanders. Excerpts in part from his funeral sermon. Yes, we can find even more being said from those excerpts by Bishop Michael Eldon. Of note, too, was the founder of the Anglican Church of St. Catherine in the Cove. Many suggest that impetus for the name was his mother, who bore that name. There was no Anglican church in that area. And because of his love, because of his impetus in serving all God's people, persons rallied around him and asked him to be their pastor too. And so, the book of Hebrews say, should we go on? Yes, let's go on. And I ask you to add names, your names, of persons who ought to be celebrated as heroes in our country as we celebrate national heroes at this time. We sing to him, O God, our help in ages past.
Under the shadow.
Let us pray as we bring this portion of insight to a close. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and a strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and save all persons in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, that of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you, remain with you, this night, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen. Have a happy National Heroes Day as we sing the national anthem. March on, Bahamaland.